You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We are a band of brothers and native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasure, blood, and toil. And when our rights were threatened, the cry rose near and far, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. As long as the Union was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind we were and just. But now when Northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we'll hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
Somebody give me a bayonet. Give me the nearest bayonet, and I'll fall in line with the nearest unit.
That is James' version of give me my machine gun. What the Prime Minister of South Africa today's favorite song.
Are you kidding me? Bonnie Blue Flag. Sort of like, I guess, follow-up to Dixie. I mean, Dixie was the unofficial anthem. Bonnie Blue Flag was right there behind it. Well, welcome to our continuation of Confederate History Month 2019. We'd like to open this hour by reading Edward Carmack's Pledge to the South. He was Edward Carmack, a United States Senator from the Confederate State of Tennessee from 1901 to 1907, so this was after the war. But he wrote one of the most beautiful things I've ever read, and this is what it reads, his Pledge to the South. The South is a land that has known sorrows. It is a land that has broken the ashen crust and moistened it with tears. A land scarred and riven by the plowshare of war and billowed with the graves of her dead, but a land of legend, a land of song, a land of hallowed and heroic memories. To that land, every drop of my blood, every fiber of my being, every pulsation of my heart is consecrated forever. I was born of her womb, I was nurtured at her breast. And when my last hour shall come, I pray God that I may be pillowed upon her bosom and rocked to sleep within her tender and encircling arms. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, someone writing something so eloquently these days? These days,
particularly a congressman.
Yes, he was a United States congressman. I mean, now we're denounced by Congress. I guarantee you Edward Carmack wouldn't have denounced us, Keith. These days,
he would have denounced people that deserve denouncing.
You can give a college degree if you simply show up half the time and demonstrate an ability to make guttural sounds and grunt. Not only are
things...
He would
be denouncing the Congressional Committee Against White Nationalism.
Yes, he would have. Well, he would have been included amongst the subjects of that Congressional Committee, that hearing. But not only are things not better than they were before, nothing in our society is even as good. Everything is worse, and that's what they call progress. I posted, though... that pledge to my Twitter feed this week, and one of our listeners wrote this in response, that Carmack's sentiment is shared by millions of Southerners, myself included, he wrote, in this rootless society, to have a sense of one's place in the flow of history, to be part of one's land, and to honor your ancestors for the struggle and sacrifice is to do the right thing. Of course, I wholeheartedly share in that incredibly touching statement. It's something that only a Southerner could have written, talking about Carmack's pledge. The South will always be first in my heart, not only first, but second and third as well. So we welcome you back to TPC's on-air coverage of Confederate History Month. Michael Hill will be back with us in the third hour. But for this hour, it's just going to be me and Keith. But before we get to that, what we have in store for you this hour, I want to read to you something that last week's guest, Gene Andrews, wrote. Gene Andrews, like yours truly, was at one time, for a long time, a Southern Baptist. I was thrown out. In fact, my entire church thrown out, as you well know. But Gene himself left the church.
He threw them out so to speak.
There you go. But he wrote, he didn't do so quietly. He wrote this letter to the Southern Baptist Convention just as
not
I wrote.
Not go gently into that good night. That's not Gene's way.
This is what Gene, our guest last week, had to write to the Southern Baptist Convention. Dear SBC, we posted this to our website too this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. When I went to your website to find your mailing address, I noticed that a topic of discussion from a recent convention was the concern over the decrease in membership. May a lonely rank-and-file member offer a suggestion? No one wants to be a member of any organization run by a bunch of suck-up, expletive-kissing, politically correct cowards. Your vulgar attack against our honored Confederate battle flag has been disgusting. It was nothing more than a pathetic display of pandering to the criminal element of our society. I promise you, most assuredly, that you have lost one worker from Creevewood Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I will never donate another dime to you effeminate whiner, nor will I ever waste my time cleaning up after your programs, working the neighborhood picnic, or servicing the grounds. Ask the loudmouth, vulgar thugs from Black Lives Don't Matter to Other Blacks to cough up a little tithe money for your salaries that you can spend time insulting Southerners who had ancestors who fought under St. Andrew's Cross against a brutal, sadistic enemy who used churches in the South to stable their horses and the pews for feed troughs. Ask George Soros to work at the church, since you wimps are more concerned about Marxist liberal perverts than you are about Southern Baptists. My ancestors fought, and some died under the Confederate battle flag. Those men never did anything to make me ashamed of them, nor would I do anything that would make those Confederate patriots ashamed of me, like consorting with self-hating cowards like you. I suggest that you read about real Southern religious leaders like Father Abraham Joseph Ryan, Reverend R.L. Dabney, the Reverend D.C. Kelly. They were Christian soldiers on and off the battlefield. They were also men, something you will never be. Former Southern Baptist Gene Andrews. Gene gave a great appearance on TPC last week, and that was his letter on his way out of the very corrupt and apostate Southern Baptist Convention, Keith.
Well, just think about this. What are we to do when your church and mine and just about everyone else's has basically exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary? They are totally sold out. Christianity is no longer anything except window dressing. They have a true religion. They are true believers in liberalism. Now, what do you do? Do you tithe to an organization like that? I know that you're big on tithing, James, but if you tithe to a Southern Baptist church that is passing muster under the current leadership, you're tithing to Moloch.
Well, we've had people, Keith, you know, this is a Christian broadcast. This is a political broadcast. But we are Christians and we are Southerners, so you know that comes across in our presentation. We have had people who have left the church who say that they contribute to our program as if it were a tithe because we are, in fact, their de facto church in this degenerate day and age, an age that is also perverted even the last refuge of our people, which was the Southern Baptist Church.
Well, let me just say this. I remember for the longest time, Southern Baptists proudly said, it's not happened to us, it happened to you guys. But, well, like I said, you think the devil forgot you? They're going to come after you. Finding a true Bible-believing church is harder and harder, but it's worth the hunt, people. Find one, go to it, and don't give your tithe money to the likes of the current Southern Baptist Convention churches.
We'll be right back, folks.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Ye men of valor, gather around the banner of the right. Texas and for Louisiana, join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stephen, statesmen are. Rally behind the bunny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bunny blue flag that bears a single star. And here's to brave Virginia, the old Dominion state. With the young Confederacy at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
You know, when I listen to music like that, Keith, I feel so connected to our brave Confederate forebears, our ancestors, our blood.
If you want to come back down to earth, listen to a sermon by Steve Gaines or J.D. Greer.
Well, one more thing about that. So, you know, we talked last week, I believe it was in the first hour, about Steve Gaines, who was the former
Southern Baptist Pope.
President of the Southern Baptist Convention, who had
why do you resist calling him the Southern Baptist
Pope?
Well,
he could be the Pope. You know, he can. You know,
he's a Pope for 1 year at a time.
He's as bad as the Pope,
maybe worse.
But in any event, he has of course presided over the condemnation of the Confederate flag and the Confederate ancestors.
Racism is the greatest sin of all.
And you know, denouncing me and throwing my church out. Anyway. But his successor is even worse, J.D. Greer. So J.D. Greer is the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He has come out and recently said that Baptists need to support LGBT.
He's breaking new ground.
Right. So that's something even Steve Gaines, as apostate as he is, hasn't said. So if you don't, now he makes clear that you are a judgmental Pharisee who does not understand the gospel. Now that is the current gospel of the SBC anyway. So instead of calling for homosexuals to repent, he is demanding that Christians support them in a lifestyle that God condemned. Now, I've been scouring the Bible, Keith, to find where LGBT rights is part of the gospel, but every time that it's mentioned, I only find verses saying the opposite. So The fact of the matter is, why is the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention downplaying homosexuality and twisting scripture in order to attack those who still preach against it? Now, we already know that
he's
Russell
either
Moore
misled or he is being paid.
Russell Moore is being paid by George Soros. Now, you think that's conspiratorial, but no. He is a member of the Evangelical Immigration Roundtable whose sole purpose is to take to their respective denominations this agenda for open borders, and they are funded, the Evangelical Immigration Roundtable, funded by George Soros. That is beyond dispute. But now the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention doing the same. Why didn't Southern Baptist ministers preach this in generations past about Southern Baptists should be the greatest advocate
for homosexuals? I guess they call that progress, James. We have people are so much wiser nowadays than we had in the past.
Well, that's what we've got. So has God changed? Has the Bible changed? No. The culture has changed, and they are struggling to fit into it. As A.W. Tozer put it, religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender.
Yeah, see, Tozer said that it used to be that the society changed the culture. Now the culture changes
in so many words. But anyway, if you don't believe me, let's take a listen in his own words. This is J.D. Greer, current president of the
Groovy Greer
Southern Baptist Convention, in a very recent sermon. Let's take a listen.
Up and be among the fiercest advocates for the preservation of the dignity and the rights of LGBT people. Because we recognize that gay and lesbian people are essentially just like us.
All right, so there you have it. So now, I mean, again, this is total surrender. This is progressively worse than the soft and flabby Christianity practiced by Steve Gaines, who was, of course, anti-Southern.
Soft and flabby Steve Gaines, by the way.
And physically and spiritually and mentally, anti-Southern. Racism, whatever it is on equal footing with murdering babies. But once
adultery.
In a blue moon, even Steve Gaines would still slip in a quick line about marriage being between one man and one woman. And he's never going to do anything about it, of course, but at least he'd mention it on a rare occasion. But this guy, progressively worse. Now, aren't you glad that you have the oasis here, Christian, fellow Southerner, fellow pro-white advocate, wherever in the world you may live? Aren't you glad that you have this oasis here at TPC? This radio program is one of a kind. It's a beacon. Support us. We will not dishonor our fathers and mothers. We will defend them. We will fight for them, and we will fight for you.
Well, let me just say this too, James. People like Greer and Gaines are guilty of violating one of the Ten Commandments. They are covetous. They covet a flock that God hasn't given them. They've got a flock of straight, heterosexual white people. They don't want them. They want homosexual non-whites. And they basically have turned their back on the flock that God has given them. It's like the story of Lot. Lot was called to preach to a certain group. He didn't want to preach to them. God had him swallowed up by a whale. Not Lot, excuse me. Who is the guy? Jonah. Jonah is who it is. Right. They're like Jonah, only they haven't repented. They are still seeking. They don't want to preach to the group, the flock of sheep. Yeah, the flock. Yeah, and they are like Lot, as Sam Bushman said, because they will not turn their back on the gay community, at least like Lot's wife. Let's say that, okay?
All right, let's go to, I believe it was Matt in Kansas with a quick call, and then we're going to continue on our Confederate History Month series. We are transitioning into it, if you can believe it. It is going to happen. But, Matt, let's go to you, if I've got your name right, in Kansas, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, hey, James. Hey, Keith. I've been listening to your show for a while. I was going to kind of comment on what you and Keith are saying about white liberals in the first hour. Like, well, I've taken classes out here, and I'm an older son about your age, James. And, like, a lot of these young kids, they're, like, 18 to 22, they're all white kids. Anytime we talk about race, they're always ripping on white people. I don't get it. Even, like, out here in the heartland, Kansas, I'm hearing this stuff in my classes. I just don't get it. It sounds like I'm in California or something.
Well, I will give you a little bit of comfort if it matters. I mean, and we've said this before, people like us, people like you, are on each end of the spectrum. There are a handful, percentage-wise, of true believers on both the left and the right. The vast majority in the middle are going to go with the path of least resistance. Whatever is cultural, culturally in vogue, whatever is trendy, fashionable, whatever
is going to advance their career.
There you go, Keith. Absolutely. That's what they're going to go with. So these people that you're hearing rip on white people, if our people were in charge and if what was righteous and true was what was being presented as the cultural norms, the people that you're hearing today would be touting our line. So they will fall in line when the culture changes, and that's what we're working for.
It's like I've told James before. These are the same people that if they lived in 1955 in Birmingham would have been staunch segregationists.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that hopefully that can give you some comfort.
Well, like one of these kids, I don't want to keep you guys too long, but like I'm getting so irritated with it. I said, you know, if you really believe in multiculturalism, why don't you go live in Harlem? Why don't you go live in, you know, Baltimore?
You
never thought about that, you know?
Well, they're not going to do that, and we can name some Memphis neighborhoods like that too, but it's like the great Joe Sobrin once said, and he appeared on this program before his passing. When it comes to their mating and migratory habits, liberals are indistinguishable from members of the Ku Klux Klan. Even these people,
exactly.
Of course, they're going to live their lives as we do, but they're going to parrot what society expects them to say.
Until they find themselves being in an unsafe situation because of it.
Hey, thank you so much for the call from the heartland, from the breadbasket there in Kansas. We're going to continue on with our Confederate History Month series next. But thank you, Matt, and stay in touch. Send us an email. We'll be back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
40 million Americans are in the path of severe thunderstorms that could also spawn dangerous twisters. Meteorologist Ivan Cabrera says parts of Texas are being hammered by tornadoes, 60-mile-per-hour winds, and huge hailstones.
A tornado watch, which means conditions are favorable for tornadoes to form from eastern Texas into western Louisiana, but I don't think this is it. We're going to continue this threat. We're going to expand it further east, and we're going to continue it into the late evening hours. So we're just at the beginning here with those couple of tornadoes confirmed in Texas.
The storm is moving further east and into the Ohio Valley. Despite tweets by President Trump, the Department of Homeland Security says it won't be sending immigrants to be detained in sanctuary cities. Not yet. The president said places like California keep asking for migrants to be allowed in. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way. But they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un could meet again. The president seems to be baiting the dictator after Kim offered the idea of a third summit as long as an agreement could be reached by the end of the year. In a tweet, the president reminded everyone that total denuclearization is the goal. He said, "I agree with Kim Jong-un of North Korea that our personal relationship remains very good. Perhaps the term excellent would be even more accurate, and that a third summit would be good in that we fully understand where we each stand. North Korea has tremendous potential for extraordinary growth, economic success, and riches under the leadership of Chairman Kim. I look forward to the day when nuclear weapons and sanctions can be removed." A source has now been identified in a multi-state E. coli outbreak. It appears ground beef is the source of the outbreak. 17 people have been admitted to the hospital. So far, no deaths have been reported. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Then cheer, boys, cheer. Raise a joyous shout. For Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the bunny blue flag has grown to be 11. Hurrah, oh, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bunny blue flag, it bears a single star. Then here's to our Confederacy, strong we are and brave. Like patriots of old, we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer, cheer for that bunny blue flag, it bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bunny blue flag, it bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah, for Southern rights,
I love it. Confederate History Month on TPC. It is a month we circle on our calendar every year. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for making it possible. The Southern Baptist Convention may be hoisting up the homosexual flag, but we stand by the flag of Jesus Christ, the flag of St. Andrew, the Confederate battle flag, and that's where we are, and that's who we are, and we will never betray that cause, those people who were far better than us. Now, Keith, last week...
Can you imagine the nerve of people thinking they were better Christians today than our Christian forefathers?
Better
were.
Christians than Robert E. Lee, than Stonewall Jackson? They did not exist. They have not existed. Now, Keith, last week you gave a compelling presentation on the true causes that led to the war between the states. It was a fantastic hour of radio. We're going to continue that now, but above and beyond that, above and beyond the causes, you're going to talk about how the war could have been won and the reasons why the good guys lost that war. Take it away, Keith. The rest of the hour is yours before we go to Dr. Michael Hill in the third hour. The show's only half over. Still so much to come tonight. Hang on to your seats, folks. Go, Keith.
Okay. Let's go first back to touch on what we were talking about last time, the causes of the Civil War and the non-causes of the Civil War. Basically, society and culture and academia today tell you that slavery was far and above the paramount cause of the Civil War. That's ridiculous. That's not what happened. The two-word answer to that argument is Corwin Amendment, C-O-R-W-I-N, Amendment. Look it up, type that into your Google box, and even with the disinformation and the obfuscation that you get from the authors of Wikipedia, you can still figure it out and why slavery was not the cause. The Corwin Amendment was a proposed 13th Amendment to the Constitution. If all states that joined the Confederacy stayed in the United States and voted to confirm that, it would have become the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It said the exact opposite of what the 13th Amendment that was actually eventually passed in 1865 said. What the Corwin Amendment said was that slavery would remain forever legal and inviolate in all states and territories of the United States in which it was currently at that time legal. So, rather than abolishing slavery, they were abolishing the abolition movement, basically. They were saying that slavery would be forever protected. Well, why wasn't that enough to keep the Confederate states in the United States of America if that was actually offered to them before the war, which it was, and it was promoted by President Lincoln. Lincoln sent a handwritten letter to the governor of each state in the Union urging them to put their political weight into getting it confirmed by their respective state legislatures. Well, it's quite obvious that in the minds of the Southerners, who actually did secede, and that was the opening salvo of the war, slavery was not the primary issue. It wasn't even one of the most important issues, or else the Corwin Amendment would have settled it. Now, what was the real reason? Well, one reason is the Morrell Tariff. Tariffs were excise taxes that were the primary engine for funding the federal government before the passage of the 16th Amendment. The original Constitution prohibited income taxes. That's why you had to have the 16th Amendment passed under the Woodrow Wilson administration in order to allow there to be an income tax. Tariffs were the most important of these excise taxes, tariffs on foreign manufactured goods. Now, the North was running the country. Their interests were paramount. Particularly in the Northeast, they were developing manufacturing industries. They wanted the South to be their captive market that would buy their industrial production. The South was like a colony. We were producing all of the money crops, agricultural products that, one, helped feed the North, and two, brought money from overseas into America. Now, the South had to buy foreign manufactured goods in order to induce European powers like Britain, France, Germany, and others into buying their cotton, their tobacco, their indigo, and other products, agricultural products. Back then, countries did not tolerate trade imbalances. If we hadn't been buying manufactured goods from Britain, Britain would have looked elsewhere, probably among their other colonies like Egypt or India, to get their cotton. Now, that was the reason. The South was just like the 13 colonies. Just like the 13 colonies, the South was tired of being treated like the colony of the North. We served a purpose for them. The government wasn't being run for our purposes. For example, what did the federal government do with the money that it got from Southerners who were forced to pay tariffs on the manufactured goods from Europe that they bought? Well, whenever the Whigs, the predecessors to the Republicans of Lincoln, were in power, they used it for internal improvements. Internal improvements tended to be transportation systems like the Erie Canal or the Pennsylvania Turnpike, or increasingly throughout the antebellum period on railroads like the Baltimore and Ohio, the Grand Trunk Railroad, Chesapeake Railroad, things like this, Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. Well, 80 to 90% of the money raised by the federal government was coming from the South on the tariffs that the South was paying. On the other hand, 80 to 90% of the internal improvements that were being built with that money were located outside the South. There was only one major interior east-west railroad in the Confederacy at the time that the Civil War broke out. That was the Memphis to Charleston Railroad, and it was built entirely with private funds. All of these northern railroads, the Reading Railroad, all of these others, those were being built with hefty assists from the federal government. So the rest of the country was being developed at the expense of the South, and the South was getting unfair treatment. They weren't even getting equal treatment. They were providing all the money and virtually getting none of the benefits. So there it is in a nutshell. That's what the causes of the Civil War were and what they weren't.
And that is a continuation of last week's second hour. So if you missed that installment, go back and revisit it in our broadcast archives. Keith did a great job of presenting that. And so now that leads up to the onset of, I guess you would say, the hostilities or the unpleasantness, Keith, of the war between the states in the years of 1861 to 1865. So when we come back, we will talk to Keith about what he considers to be where the war went wrong and how the Confederates could have won the war, I guess, as an armchair quarterback many decades after the war. It's easy for us to figure that out. But Keith will offer his suggestions on that. And who's to blame for the war going south, no pun intended. So that's coming up next. Now, we just got an email from one of our dear listeners in the state of Virginia, Robert E. Lee's home state. And they said they ran across this motel called the Robert E. Lee Motel. I guess that still exists. I see the general's likeness there on the billboard. So I tell you what, still good stuff and good people out there. And they are listening to us tonight. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be right back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Lieutenant Colonel Stewart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stewart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart,
Use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54. Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche. Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we will be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And, Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away.
Well, that is a recreation in the movie Gods and Generals, which Warner Brothers, which actually released that movie in the early 2000s, contacted yours truly and TPC when they re-released it for the commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the war a couple of years ago. To help us, they wanted us to help them promote the re-release of the movie, Gods and Generals. And Stonewall Jackson, as you heard in that clip, expertly played by Stephen Lang. He's talking to Colonel Pendleton there. We've been talking about the causes of the war. And that recreation, Stonewall Jackson is talking about what he believes to be the causes of the war and how the war would, why it was so important, what would happen if the North triumphed. And that is a good movie. Gods and Generals. And, of course, I have been to the grave of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, who are buried within walking distance of one another in the really picturesque town of Lexington, Virginia. Colonel Pendleton, who is speaking to in that clip, is buried there at the Stonewall Jackson Memorial Cemetery in Lexington. Well, anyway, I thought that was a nice clip to play again. We have played that clip before on this show. I thought it would be nice to play again, as Keith has been talking the last couple of weeks about the causes for the war. But now, Keith, let's talk about where the war went wrong, how we could have won the war, and who's to blame for it going the way that it did, unfortunately.
Okay, in macro terms, in big picture terms, the reason the 13 colonies won the American Revolution is the same reason the South lost the Civil War or the War between the States or whatever you want to call it. And that reason is the lack of having a large European ally join the South against the North. If, as the French joined the American Revolutionaries, the 13 colonies in the American Revolution, if we could have gotten France or England in particular to join us, we would have won the war, plain and simple. The South and its politicians were assured by British diplomats and French diplomats that they would get involved in the war on our side if the war started. They also said that they were not going to tolerate an interruption in the flow of cotton, tobacco, and things like that from the South to their nations by a naval blockade. And they would bring their navies into the fray to make sure that didn't happen. Well, what happened? Well, this is where slavery becomes an important issue. At the beginning of the war, Lincoln said that his purpose was simply to preserve the Union. Well, that sold very well in the North and in the Midwest. In fact, when he passed or made the Emancipation Proclamation, the Army of Potomac, then under the command of Fighting Joe Hooker, mutinied almost. They said, this is not what we are going to war for. We're going to war to preserve the Union, not to free slaves. They had race riots that were misnamed draft riots in New York City and other places where Irish immigrants were coming into America, because as soon as they stepped off the boat into America, they were pressed into the service of the Union Army. They didn't want to fight for it either. So that was the macro reason. The macro reason was that we didn't get a European ally. Now, let's look at the South versus the North. America prevailed in the Mexican War. Over 80% of the line officers fighting for the United States in the Mexican War were from the South. The South had their pick of the litter of those officers to be their officer corps. So we had a better officer corps than the Union Army. Secondly, the rank and file soldier of the South was a better soldier than Union soldiers. Most of the people in the South were not factory workers, were not urban denizens. They were people who lived on small subsistence farms that had to shoot well and accurately in order to put meat on the table of their homes. So consequently, it was like they had an army of Davy Crockett's and Daniel Boone's. So even though our numbers weren't up to what the North had in terms of manpower and in particular materiel, we had an advantage in the quality of our officers and soldiers. Now, there's one Union general whose picture I have up in my house, and that's George McClellan.
Wait a minute here, Keith.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Come on now.
Why do I have McClellan's picture in my home?
How many Confederate generals do you have on your walls?
I've lost count. But at any rate, McClellan was a gentleman, unlike most of his successors. He saw Southerners as fellow Americans. He did not want bloodshed. He didn't want a war of attrition. He didn't want to, throw his soldiers on the pile of dead bodies or to create a big pile of dead bodies on the Confederacy. He wanted to win by a strategic masterstroke, and that's why Lincoln found him unsuitable to lead the Army of the Potomac. Well, Lincoln finally found somebody who was willing to fight a war of attrition. That was General Grant. Now, up until the Battle of Gettysburg, the South had won virtually every major engagement in the war. Now, what has happened was that the South fought the war as gentlemen. For example, during the entire course of the Civil War, in town, I believe it's either Chambersburg, Maryland, or Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, I forget which one, was burned by Jubal Early's troops to protest Sherman's march to the sea. Meanwhile, the Union forces burned down Southern towns as a matter of course. They destroyed crops in the field. They killed livestock wantonly. They were fighting total war. 43 towns were burnt to the ground in Mississippi alone, and Mississippi wasn't even a major theater in the war. Basically, all of Georgia was destroyed by Sherman's army. They were fighting a new type of war, not a civilized war. Now, Robert E. Lee said, "We don't make war on women, children, and old men, only on armed soldiers." Well, that's not the way that Sherman and Grant and other Union generals fought.
Would you want to spend eternity where Sherman is today?
Not particularly. But let me just tell you this. So what has happened in there were two big turning points where we could have won the war had we had different leaders.
And you got 1 minute, and thank God there's 2 weeks left in this series, so we'll continue next
week.
Okay.
No. Well, here, I'm going to say it real quick. First of all, at the first battle of Bull Run,
We call that Manassas. Come on, Manassas.
Well, if PGT Beauregard, who was the head of the Confederate troops at that time, had followed up on his victory and followed the federal troops, he might have gotten slaughtered.
He would have sacked Washington.
He would have sacked Washington, captured it, captured Lincoln, and that would have put an end
to the
war.
Well, they say, though, that the reason they didn't do that was because they wanted to prove that they weren't there. They just wanted to secede peaceably.
Again, as Leo DeRocher said, nice guys finish last. And the other thing that Beauregard did was at the Battle of Shiloh. If he had followed up, likewise, after the first day into the night, before Buell could have unloaded his troops, the South would have won Shiloh.
Well, you're giving Braxton Bragg a pass tonight. You're a good man. But we'll be back with Michael Hill. Two more weeks to come. You're going to hear more from Keith. Much more, in fact, before this month is over. We'll be right back.